Welcome. Happy Thursday. If you just tuned in, I'm Babs Rawls Ivy. This is Love Babs Love Talk. It's Thursday. And guess who's in the studio with me today? My church sister, who we've been trying to hook up for, I don't know, forever.
Forever and ever.
Carissa Van Tassel.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am great. It is a beautiful sunny day outside.
Yes.
Doesn't it just make you feel good?
Oh my God. And I slept good last night. And
that makes all the difference.
Oh my God. I got 7 hours. I never get 7 hours. I usually average between 2 and 4.
2 hours?
Yeah.
And you wake up?
Yeah.
That's yeah. My like coffee coma day, right? Where you get your coffee and you walk through the day and your eyes are open, but you know, that's all I can claim is that I made it through the day.
Oh my God. So Carissa's here because one, she's my church sister, and two, she's a Parisian aficionado, and four, she's a noted photographer.
I like the Parisian aficionado.
I love that because you are.
I love that. Like you're my, you're like that. That's a fabulous thing.
I'm telling you, that's your next move.
I'll take that.
So we go to the Church of the Redeemer for many, many years. Her children, my children go through confirmation together. We know each other, but we don't really know each other.
I know.
It wasn't until you went to live in Paris and we became friends on Facebook.
Isn't that ironic that in order to, you live so close and yet to be friends, you actually have to go away so you can connect online.
And that's what
happened. Something messed up about that. But it totally worked in the end.
It worked in the end. And so we just started bantering back and forth about Paris. I knew a few things that were going on. I would let her know. And then she would like, oh, I'm over here. I'm over there. And she took these beautiful photos and her kids were entrenched in the school system there. And her beautiful daughter, Kate, was playing soccer. And we were all following soccer. And I don't speak a lick of French, but I followed along.
All like, evidence to the contrary. You said bonjour when I walked in today.
That's about all I know.
Okay, well, you know, it's a start.
I can say bonjour, bonsoir.
See, you just doubled.
And arrondissement.
Right? Yeah.
Arrondissement.
Exactly. Mont.
Mont. Arrondissement. So
go.
I was learning French. I was taking French classes because I was planning to go to Paris.
Okay.
Like, I've been planning to go to Paris for 20 years.
Wait, you've never been and you've been planning
I've
for 20 years?
I've never been. I told you the story when I was, my then husband, our 10-year anniversary.
That's right.
And I had found a little church in Paris. We were staying at a particular hotel. I sent my dress over.
Can't believe that.
And we were ready to go. And then 9/11 happened. And my travel agent was like, well, you know, I think going to Europe would probably be the safest time to go. She's like, but let me just reroute you somewhere else in the world.
That's awful. And your dress was, how did you get your dress
they
back?
They sent it back. They kindly sent it back. And I was like, man. And they were like, come.
So your dress has been to Paris.
My
but
dress.
You haven't.
But I have.
That's messed up.
And, you know, my wedding dress is still hanging in my closet. I can't bear to part with it.
Well, no, it's been
yes,
Paris.
It's been to Paris. Once I go to Paris, I will consign
there we can,
that
yeah,
joker.
Yeah, there we go.
Or have it. Some pillows made.
Exactly.
Or quilt or some old
yeah,
mess.
A memento.
Yes, yes. So Paris has been part of my story for a very long time.
Okay, but 20 years is a long time.
Girl, I know. And I've been all other places in the world. Exactly. I had never gotten the chance to go.
All right, it's time.
So when you were there
yeah.
and I saw all the wonderful pictures, it was great. And then, wait, and then the other piece of this is, so my friend Andrew Kaplan.
Mm-hmm. My friend, too.
Your friend, too. He had a birthday, and I knew how much Paris means to him, and you had these beautiful Parisian pictures. So I contacted you, and I was like, okay, I want to buy something.
But you didn't tell me it was Andrew.
No, I didn't. This is how small the world is.
I know. No, it's crazy. Right?
So I buy three prints. I buy two for him, one for me, mm-hmm. So that he and I would have something
my
in common.
My favorites, by the way.
Yes.
My absolute
oh,
favorite.
My God. I love these. So I gave him the locks
yep.
and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had him framed. I gave him to him. And on the back, I wrote whatever I wrote. I said, you know, this isn't my girlfriend. She's in Paris now. She's a noted photographer, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, you know, I know a photographer woman who likes Paris or whatever, some old thing. So I said, Carissa Van Tassel. He's like, no, I know her.
That's
I
so
said, you know
funny.
Her.
Because it's totally different worlds. Like worlds collide and...
Oh my God, it was the craziest thing. And
that
then
is.
I talked to you. I sent you a message.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I remember him. We worked on a project. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
And so that's how the world became very small.
Exactly. So which happens a lot around here, actually.
Yes, 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 yes. So how are you?
I'm great.
We were out at we were out at Cave Vin just the other night.
Cave Vin.
Cave Vin. Cave Vin.
We're gonna work on your French throughout the course of this.
See, look, she's gonna have me speaking French like a Parisian, like a true Parisian. People won't even know. Like, where are you from? Are you from Paris?
Exactly. Yes. Yes, well, you got the bling going on. You're talking about that.
Yes.
The other night.
You know, I love a lot of sparkly because I don't wear much makeup these days unless it's professionally put on.
Yeah. I like that. I love that, actually. Yeah. I don't do it myself. I wait for the pros.
I wait for the pros. I swear to God, when I have to go somewhere, I go and I see my my glam squad captain, Madame Blush, Winter Carson, and she does my makeup for all my photo shoots. For all my appearances.
I've seen your pictures. Yes. They're amazing. She's amazing.
Thank you. Listen, that girl is magic. Because if she can work with all this, I go in
with
there and
all
like,
that, are you kidding me?
Like, oh my God, can you just perk it up?
What did I say to you the other night when we went out? I knew what? Four things.
Four
about
things.
You. And number one was what? You have a smile that lights up the room.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I love that you had these four things. Like, if you were a boyfriend, you would have won me that night. Like if we were on a date and you said that, I would have been like, I would have been really impressed. I was like, that guys, if you hear, this is what you do. So Carissa, say that again. You said to me, I know four things about you.
I did. So we were going out that night. And as she said, we'd known each other for a long time, but I realized I knew actually very little about her. So I started trying to figure out what it is that I actually know. And number one was that she has a smile and a laugh that will light up the room. You do. Look, listen to that. Like how, it just spreads joy. It's amazing. It's infectious.
Thank you. Thank you.
Number two, because we've gone to church together, so I've seen you have amazing hats.
Yes.
Like I don't have
hats. I will cop to that.
I have a couple, but like really, I don't wear them. And you wear them with such grace and panache. I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Number three, you went to Redeemer.
Yes.
And number four, you had a radio show.
Yes.
Like, that's literally all I knew about you.
Yes. That's pretty good. I'm telling you, that's a good, if you were
good opener.
If you were a boyfriend, that would, we'd be dating.
Well, that's good.
Swear to God. So, there's a bunch of stories that I want you to tell.
Uh-oh.
I loved your, how you got to Paris the first time story.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That's a good story. I love how you came to photography. That's a great story. And I love how you met Paul in between all of this, which is another great, like, you have to have a
stories are so much fun, aren't
they? They are, but you tell them so beautifully, and they're so magical.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't believe in magic, you hear these stories, you will believe in magic.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Honest to God. So
I love it.
So pick one that you'd like to tell. Or you could tell them all. I don't care. I enjoyed
the story.
I mean, you can edit it, you know, because we're not drinking and we're not
coffee. It's just coffee.
It's coffee. But if y'all were with us at Cave Vin,
there we go.
Then that. you would have gotten.
You gotta drop the last letter and everything you say in French.
Oh, Cave Vin.
There you go. So you got it.
Cave Vin. So if you were with us there, you would get the unabridged version. You're going to get the clean, nice, sweet.
Yeah, we can clean up.
Prime, you know, ready for a morning talk show version.
So, well, the first two kind of blend together. So I'll try to, bring them down a little bit. But so basically while I was in college, I was a junior in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to go to Paris. So I
and now wait, you grew, you now where are you from?
Minnesota.
That's right. Okay, because that's important
Minnesota,
to know.
Yeah, it affects the story. So I grew up taking French, grew up since, you know, junior high. Everyone has their first foreign language, and I took mine. It was French, and I just fell in love with the culture and the pictures. And, you know, I had them on my wall in high school. Lots of people have guys. I had Paris. And so this was like my dream. And so in college, I applied for a scholarship to go and study at the Sorbonne for a semester. And you went through all of the different phases of interviews, and you had to write essays. And so I got through all of this, and I was down to like the last three candidates. And they came back and said that I was too young, so I was disqualified.
Ooh.
Which just broke my heart. Like, it wasn't like you're not qualified, we don't like your writing, or, you know, we just chose someone else over you. It was like, we're just going to cut you from the pack and make our job easier because you're young.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of made me mad.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm the personality type that when someone says, no, you can't, it's like, oh, watch me.
Yes. Yes.
Which is sometimes like my Achilles heel, right? Because people know that about me. And so they'll say, no, just to watch me. But anyway, that's a whole other deal. But so they said, no, no appeal. No, just no. So I decided that I was going to go to Paris. And so I just started putting out the word everywhere I could think of. I want to go. Does anyone know of an opportunity? Does anyone need an intern? Da 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 da. And a family friend got in touch with my parents and me and said, you know, I know a guy who works at a pharmaceutical research firm. Do you want me to see if he would have an opening for an intern? Yes. Hello. Yes. So he got in touch. We filled out all the paperwork. We wrote the letter to the State Department that says I'm going over. The plan was for me to live with he and his family and work at the office and have my Parisian experience. I was elated. So, but it's scary, right? You're going by yourself now. You're not going with a group of students. You're not going to be living with a group of students. So you're really on your own. But I went and I got on the plane that day, you know, and you just feel all of that angst and excitement and anticipation. And I got off the plane. I had 6 months of luggage in tow, and he's supposed to meet me at the airport. But I've never met him, right? So he's a 50-ish-year-old guy. So I start kind of smiling at all these 50-ish-year-old guys. And I'm 19. Like, this is not a good idea. This is where, like, the Minnesota girl comes in, right? But I was just so naive.
I love this story.
And so they smile back, but it's a very different smile than the one I gave. You know, it's like the, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, 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 no. And I literally spent hours running to the bathroom with 6 months of luggage in tow and then kind of reappearing to see if he'd gone, you know, for hours. And I finally found on a post-it note the phone number for the office and called. And he answered the phone. He's like, take a cab. Right. Okay. So I'd never taken a cab, right? I'm 19, but I'd had my own car. I live in the suburbs, da, da, da. So I thought, all right, adventure begins. And boy, did it ever. I got the biggest tour of Paris that anyone's ever had in a cab. I was like $250 cab ride from the airport into where I was going. But I had no choice. I had no idea where I was or anything. So finally got there. I walked in the stairs. I'm scared out of my mind. And this guy is standing there. He's like, Caissa? And I looked at him. I said, what? In English. He said, are you Caissa? Yes, Carissa, that's me. Anyway, it turned out that the guy that I was supposed to be working for, living with, and he and his family, not just living with him, was fired that morning for having an affair with the secretary and turning over control of the office to her. And he hadn't told anyone I was coming. So I'm there alone. I am homeless. And I just gave all of my money to that cab driver. It was terrifying. Literally, the movie French Kiss had just come out before I left. Of course, I went to see it to get all excited about what I was doing. Not that I needed to be more excited about what I was doing. And in that movie, she sleeps on the steps of the embassy one night. And I thought, okay, I could at least sleep on the steps of the embassy. There are police officers there. I won't die. It was awful.
I love this story.
Oh, my God.
Because that just... That's the story that makes you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is the beginning of your life. It makes you.
Yeah. No, you don't know. I mean, from the lowest lows, you figure out what you're made of.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, if life just sails around, you never really figure out what you're capable of.
Yes.
So, in a roundabout way, I guess I'm thankful for him having this affair.
Yeah.
Really roundabout.
Said no woman ever.
I know.
But we'll take that.
Yeah.
Because it was the beginning of your chutzpah.
Exactly. No, it totally made it. And that things worked out very well after that. I wasn't homeless for more than an hour.
Yes.
The CEO was there and she had fired him. She happened to be an American woman, which in France was unheard of at the time, but she was. Hallelujah. And she said, you know, what have I promised you? And what do you need? And I said, I just need a place to stay. Like, literally, I'm like so close to tears. I'm like, I just need a place to stay. And she said, okay, done. What else? And I said, no, that's it. I just need a place to stay. And she said, well, am I paying you? I said, you think, is this a trick question? I said, no.
The kid you pay me?
I know. She's like, well, that's not okay. You know, if you're working for me, I have to pay you. And then she said that she was going to give me the company apartment, which they had a company apartment because he'd rented it to have his affair.
So you've just benefited from this affair.
I know. That horrible. Like, the poor woman who was his wife and that whole thing, I'm sure, just came crashing down. I don't know that part of the story. But, wow, it changed my life. So she gives me the company apartment, and the only thing in it was a bed.
Oh, of course. Because what else do you need in an affair apartment?
Right, exactly. So she sets me up with an account to start furnishing the apartment.
Wow.
I know, right?
Girl.
So it went from, like, talk about rags to riches or Cinderella or whatever you want to say. I went from literally having no money and nowhere to live to having an apartment that went kind of all the way around a courtyard.
Wow.
Like a floor of a building, which, again, I had no idea how lucky I was at the time. Like, only later did I see a friend's apartment, and it was like a postage stamp. I thought, oh, that's kind of sad. And then I started to realize, like, I really was very,
yes,
very
the stars were on your side.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it was. And, of course, it took me a while, but I'd, like, go and buy dishes and be like, yay. You know, everything was a new experience, but it was just amazing. It was so much fun. And figuring out by yourself, too.
I love that.
You know?
Now, there's more to this story, because This is how you meet your husband.
Right.
Which I love this story, too, because I love a good love story.
Oh,
I really do.
I do, too. Especially this one, but I might be biased. So while I was in Paris, in that very, very beginning stage, I called my mom and my dad, and I'm like, you know how you can talk and not be crying, but like, every part of you is crying except your eyes because you're blinking so bad. You know what I mean? You're trying to hold it back. So I called them, and it was that. So my voice is talking, shaking. I'm like, oh, I'm here, and I'm going to be fine. And, you know, like that kind of thing. So I called my parents and said, you know, I'm going to be fine, but I'm here, and things are kind of messed up. And so my mom, this is pre-Facebook era, right? So my mom starts calling anybody who might know anybody that's anywhere near Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those phone calls was to my former boss, who had said that he knew somebody in Paris. And so my mom called him and said, you know, if you do, she's, you know, in need of help right now. And long story short, that someone was Paul, who I'm now married to. And so when he came back to Paris, he was stateside for Christmas. When he came back, it was about 2 or 3 weeks later. He, you know, called me and said, you know, do you want to, get together? I can show you some of the city, you know, can speak English, which was just like, oh, thank God. Cause for this high school French girl, like 3 weeks of straight French was about to do this brain in. But remember, I'm 19 and he's going to kill me for saying this. And, he was 31 at the time. That's a huge age gap at that point in your lives.
Yes.
And so I think for both of us, it was like, right? Like, he's thinking he has to take this teenager around the city for the day and kind of dreading it. And I'm thinking, you know, he's this older guy. Thank you. But I'm good. Anyway, so we had this great day. We, like, walked and walked and walked. And over the course of the day, like, 3 or 4 different times, he said, you know, but I have to be gone by 8 o'clock because I have this dinner that I have to be at. I'm like, okay. First time, fine. Second time, fine. Third time, I'm thinking, you know,
just
he's really fixated. Yeah. And so finally I said, thought, well, maybe he's thinks that I need him. And so I said, you know, I'm fine. You can go. I don't need you. I'm good. And that,
and that
phrase,
my dear, is like the turning point.
It was completely.
He's like, what?
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean you don't need me? You know, kind of that same thing I was talking about before, right? If someone says no to you, you're like, excuse me.
I'm sorry, what? You don't see my greatness.
Exactly. So at 8 o'clock that night, we're sitting on the Champs-Élysées having dinner. And I said, oh my gosh, your dinner, you had that dinner at 8 o'clock. And he looked at me and said, well, it wasn't actually that important.
And just like that, a love story just happens.
Oh my gosh. I know.
That's a good story.
It is.
It's a good story. I love this story.
A great place to have to go back to, actually.
Did you tell your children the story?
Oh, yeah. In fact, they're like, because you know,
they're coming up on age where.
Yeah. Oh, dear Lord. Let's not even go there. I'm not ready.
You know, when they come home and be like, you know, I met. And you're like, what?
Or like if my daughter says, you know, I want to go to Paris. I'm like, great. I'm coming too. Mother-daughter trip.
But, you know, that's the real thing. I mean, do you think there's a different kind of awareness and maturity in you at that age than you would see in your children at that age right now?
So I grew up on college campuses, right? So I grew up around older people my whole life, mm-hmm. from the time I was two. Actually, even before that, I was born on a college campus. So I think I was always a little more mature than my cohort.
I feel that way too. Like, yeah. I feel way more mature than when I see my children at this age.
At some point, I want that to reverse.
Yeah.
I don't want to be 80 feeling 100. I want to be 80 feeling 60. 60. Yeah.
That's my plan.
So it's good. I got to catch up. But yeah, no, I think there was something a little different there. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, you get that same headstrong thing in your kids that you had, and you see it, and you cringe.
Yes.
Because you know what it's about.
I know. I just know it's karma. Every time I get some pushback on whatever I suggest, I was like, I know this is karma. I know. And I just surrendered to it. I was like, you know what? This is my turn.
So you're better than me, because I think I fight it sometimes, and it's not a good idea.
I used to. Now I'm like, you know what? Let me just surrender.
Unless I told you the other day, I'm waiting for the Babs parenting show. You have so many awesome tips.
Because I'm just trying to stay out of jail.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to stay out of jail and let them figure this thing out, you know. So the other part of your life is how you came to photography.
Yeah.
And how you knew you had this beautiful eye for things.
Yeah, that took a while.
Because you do have a beautiful eye for things. Oh, I just poured over your photos, and I was like, wow. You know, I was like, I have to buy more. Like, I want my own locks picture. Like, I have to buy that. Like,
oh,
get
good.
That.
I love the locks. The locks
I do
were
too.
Such a pretty thing in Paris.
Yeah.
I totally get they had to go. But
yeah. Yeah. But they've started them on other bridges.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll take down other bridges.
No, yes, it's gonna systematically go around and take down all the bridges.
Exactly.
So talk about how you came to photography.
So photography was, so I worked in marketing PR, mm-hmm. And then we were actually living in Detroit at the time. I got married, moved to Detroit, were there for several years, and I was working in marketing PR. Then we were moving to Yale, and so we moved here when my oldest son was 2 weeks old, which I don't recommend. For God's sakes, if you're having a baby, just keep everything else in your life stable. Not smart. But anyway, so we moved here. I had a two-week-old baby, no friends, no job, nothing else going on in my life. And so I bought a camera and some editing equipment. And I thought, all right, I'll figure out how to take pictures. I mean, you can't do anything else with a two-week-old baby, right? Mm-hmm. And so I started taking pictures of him and studying how you do it and taking some classes online. And then I had a daughter, and so I was taking pictures of them both. And then people started asking me to take pictures of their kids. And after a few of those, you think, you know, could I actually do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so you start doing it more and more, and it took me a really long time to get to the point of confidence. I was just saying this to someone yesterday, of saying I'm a photographer, because I didn't train in it. I don't have a degree in it. And I'm in a city of people where your degree is everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With five universities.
Everybody leads with their degrees,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I'm from Yale. I'm from the... Okay,
yeah. And those are amazing institutions, but it's everyone has their piece of paper that claim, you know, that sets them on their course. And I didn't have a piece of paper, at least not for this.
Yeah.
And so it took me a long time to have the confidence to say I'm a photographer.
And I understand that, because I used to have that fight with saying I was a writer.
Okay, exactly.
It's the same thing. I was like, am I qualified to be a writer? I write, I publish, I'm a writer.
Mm.
You know,
no,
I think
I had the studio 3 years. And it was actually when other people started introducing me as a photographer that I thought,
like,
okay.
They're talking about me.
Yeah, exactly. I can own this. I can say it. It's ridiculous how long it takes someone. And also, I love doing it. And it felt like you shouldn't be charging people, right, mm-hmm. to do something
you love. Do you think that's unique to women? Do you think that's unique to us?
I do.
Because I don't think men even, it crosses their mind.
No.
Like, yes, I'm that. And you're going to pay me for it.
Yep. No, I think it's true. It's something that's built. I mean, so it's not having a degree in it. It's not having a formal training process, and it's loving what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And those three things, I think, hold women back. And I've seen it in so many of my girlfriends that are starting out in different businesses. Those three things hold people back from doing what it is that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least from creating a business around it.
Yes. I think there's a book in you to talk about that.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because I think this is a unique phenomenon to women.
Yep.
That we do not trust our own power and ability to sort of go forth and be fruitful yep. in anything, right?
And then there are some women, like I have a great client, Leslie Montanil. In fact, I was telling you the other day, I emailed her the other day and I said, you are a rock star, because she doesn't fit that norm, right? Like what, a month ago, she said, I want to make a cookbook. Let's use the photographs that I've been taking of her cooking and stuff. I'm going to make a cookbook. And for any of my other friends, really, that would have been a year-long process, and they would have thought about it. And like 2 weeks later, she said, it's available on Amazon. And I about fell off my chair. I was like, what? She's like, no, I did it. It's available. And
we need people like that in our lives that level us up.
That don't wait for permission to go.
Right.
That don't wait for permission to feel like they're successful. Who just do it. Mm-hmm. And they create beautiful work and beautiful energy everywhere they go. And it spreads. Right.
Yes.
The ripples of that spread everywhere. I love that.
Yes. Yes. And so you get that feeling, because we were talking about when you photograph women and you do the whole makeover thing.
Yeah.
And they come in one way, and then through the process, they start to feel empowered. And you can see through your lens that they blossom right in front of
you. It's unbelievable. It is the joy of my life to be able to help see how the world sees them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we all look, you know, everybody that you love, you see the best points about them. Right? Like maybe they have a zit on their face or something. You don't even see that. Right?
Yeah.
Of the people you love, you always see the best features. But you look in the mirror and you see the worst.
Yes.
So everybody walks into my studio with their list. Okay, I don't like my left earlobe. It hangs a little long. My right eyelashes don't curl very, you know, whatever it is. Everyone has their list.
Yes.
And on that list almost always is, I don't photograph well. It's like, okay, so the true honor is when someone will give you their list, right? They will trust you with your list, mm-hmm. with their list. And when they do that, you can create magic.
Wow. Right?
When they trust you enough to give you those things
mm-hmm.
and let you do what you do.
Yeah.
They let their guard down, and that's when you get just the most unbelievable photographs.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think sitting in front of a photographer is probably one of the, you know, second to the dentist and the gynecologist.
Oh, dear God, really?
Is the most vulnerable thing.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Because they see you in a different, they see you.
Yep.
And
if you allow them.
If you allow them, yes. And every photographer I know has that ability to sort of see beyond whatever you think your flaws and fears are.
My favorite was, I had a woman walk into the studio one time, and she was having a horrible day, right? She just had a fight with her mom or her sister or something, and she was in tears. And so we just kind of started from there, right? She was coming in for this full session. So I said, let's just start here, right? She was sad. She was upset. But we took photographs of that. And that's beautiful, too. Right? It's not only the all glammed up, gorgeous, like there's incredible beauty and power in those photographs
mm-hmm.
and rawness. That's incredible. So we started there and then slowly built up. And then, you know, she started like jeans and a t-shirt. And then we did some like more headshot kind of things. And then by the end, we had her in like this sequin gown. And we just photographed the emotion and the process of doing that whole thing. And she, you know, had her list of things, and she left that day, and we'd had this great shoot, and she left feeling, you know, just super happy and upbeat after all that. And when she came back into the studio later to see her photographs, she started to cry. And she said, you know, I've never thought of myself as beautiful, but I'm looking at that woman and she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to cry now. And the power to do that for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
to allow someone else to see themselves like that, is just, unbelievable in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a gift for me to be able to help people with that. So
I think, again, that's another unique challenge to women. I think men have their own insecurities, don't
they
get me
do.
Wrong.
They've got their list.
They do. They have their list. But ours, we seem to hold it much more closely to the vest about how we look. And I think, too, Carissa, the messages out there tell us consistently we're not enough.
Right.
Like, you need this because you're not enough. You need this because you're not enough.
You need makeup. You need those clothes. You need those shoes. You need that car. I think for guys, it's more like you need that car. You need that, you know, whatever. I think it's more along those lines.
And
but
so,
everybody gets that message.
Yeah, everybody gets that message, and some people are better at filtering than others, you know. And I concern myself with that only because I have teenage daughters, or one teenage daughter and another grown-up daughter, and the messages that they get around beauty and being, you know, and just wanting them to be enough. Like, no, you don't. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. But I also understand, too, that everybody has to have their own satisfaction level for their looks. So if lipstick is your thing, by all means, buy the damn lipstick.
Right, but do it for you.
Do it for you.
Not do it because somebody else is going to like it, because you think someone else will like you more.
Yeah.
Do it because it makes you happy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think as I have gotten older, because I'm 55, and I don't lead with that anymore. Like, listen, what you see is what you get.
Exactly. But think about how empowering that message is, not just for you, but for everybody around you, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm enough.
That's it.
I'm not bragging. I'm not saying I'm all that.
No.
I'm saying I'm enough.
I'm enough.
Yep.
There may be a thinner version someday. Not right now.
Yeah.
There may be a prettier version. Not right now. This is what it
is. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I love that.
So tell me what photography does for you in your spirit.
So photography to me is about showing my clients, and I have clients across a whole variety of genre, right? So I take the Paris pictures and the kind of the final
and
collection.
I love the Paris pictures.
Thank you. They make me happy. It made me bring it Paris home. And then there's the portrait clients, and then I have commercial clients. And so it's all about helping people connect with the exquisite beauty that's around them, right? And so sometimes that's nature. That's, you know, the street scene in Paris, that's, you know, whatever. Sometimes it's just you, right? Sometimes it's your relationships, but it's making you pause and look at those photographs and take that message home every time you see the photographs, which is why I'm such a nut about people printing my pictures, right? Or not just printing my pictures, printing their pictures. If you go to my website, it says, you know, print your photographs, not just the ones I take, but that goofy shot you took of your five-year-old at the dinner table last night, print that.
Right? Oh.
Because it should, those should be, the tagline is, memories should fill your life, not your hard drive.
Oh.
Because
you're just giving me another little thing.
Oh, good. What's the thing? To print your pictures.
Yes, because I have tons of pictures, and I always think, oh, I should print this, and I never do.
Oh, do it. Because it will make you happy every time you see it. And it's true happiness, right? It's not that lipstick. It's that joy that you get to come back to every time you see that shot.
Oh, I love that.
Right? So why not fill your life with those moments?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I think because we are such a digital age right now that no one is thinking about printing out their pictures.
No. Well, because everything's going so fast. You know, you're like, oh, I'll just take that, and then you move on.
Yes.
And so then you come back to your pictures and you've got 10,000, you're looking at them going, right? That's overwhelming. I try to sit down with my cell phone every Sunday and go back and curate, right? Like, delete. If I take 10 shots of something, what's the best one?
Okay.
And that helps me keep a set that's actually meaningful versus, you know, sometimes the ones that are really special get lost in the midst of everything that's not.
Yeah.
And so if you go back and do it a little bit at a time, then when you come holiday time, then you can look at that set and there are your Christmas presents.
Wow.
Right?
Oh, like, my gosh!
Make a print, put it in a frame, make a photo album for your best friend, make, you know, whatever it is. There's no better gift, I think, than memories.
I love that. You've just given me, I'm telling you, girl, you coming in my life just is like the best gift ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Just keeps giving.
Right back
do
at
that.
You.
Because I've got a good squad of sister friends who, we've got so many pictures together over the last couple of years that I think I might just
print
do
them,
that.
Print them, print them.
I know they're listening, so maybe it won't be for Christmas.
Valentine's Day.
Yes, which is my other favorite holiday.
Ooh.
So, yes, yes, yes. So, how do your kids feel about you taking their pictures all the time?
Ooh, that's a good
question.
Because
they're beautiful. I mean, they are beautiful children.
They're good kids. I adore them. So, it's funny because they,
They're used to you?
Yeah. Right? So some kids, like, the mom will take out the camera and they'll be like, and my kids just know that's not going to work. Right? Then I'll take the picture of you frowning. I don't really care. So they all kind of, as soon as the camera comes out, they smile.
They're like, okay, we're ready.
Yep. One of my favorites was when my littlest was, I don't know, he was probably like 3. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting on the kitchen floor, and I don't even remember what the tantrum was about, but he was like full out tantruming on the floor, you know, big crocodile tears, etc. And I wanted a picture of him crying like that. He was under like the bar stool chair, right? So he's like this little head sticking out under the. So I grabbed the camera, and as soon as I did, I died.
That's your child.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, I have died. Trained him.
I know, but that's not what I wanted.
No.
Right? And so I turned around, and then I did it again. Same thing. And he's got, I mean, his, like, tears going down his face, and his face is all red, but he's got that smile on.
Oh, my God.
And so finally, I put the camera down, got it all set, and whipped around and got one shot of him crying. But, I mean, it took 3 tries to get him crying.
Like, he was your so authentic crying.
I know. It was so funny. I thought, wow, yeah. That's I take good. A lot of pictures of you, don't I? Sorry, kid.
So you have a studio.
I do.
And you talk
it's
about it.
My happy place.
Yes, I like to hear that.
No, it's at Erector Square, which, talk about karma, like a Erector Square, I think, just has such great karma. It's, yes. You know, the old A.C. Gilbert Company,
mm-hmm.
Which was forever an institution in New Haven, the American Flyer trains. That's where Erector sets come
from. Yes, 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 yes.
In fact, he's, what, the man who saved Christmas?
Because
during the war, he decided he wasn't going to start making things for the war. He was going to, you know, continue making toys, which some could say was a good business move, too. But, you know. anyway, so it's at Erector Square, which is a great collection of artist studios and stuff.
Yes.
I've got...
I mean, you feel so artsy when you go, like, you feel sophisticatedly artsy.
And it's all
artsy.
Different varieties.
Yes.
Right? There's a painter next to a photographer, next to a sculptor.
There's a dance space. There's a theater. There's a
Pilates, yoga.
Yeah. All that stuff.
Bit, that's what Open Studios is so much fun there, because you get like a little smattering of everything in one stop shop.
I've not made it to Open Studios over there.
Really? Oh, you have
I made it to all the other places in the city.
Okay, but
not
that's really important too, because some of the, you know, like, these are the artists that are independent that are working in their homes and that kind of thing. But Erector Square does have something special. And it's a lot of fun. It's a cool community of people. But it's also just beautiful old space. So it's, you know, the tall loft ceilings and, you know, open space. And yesterday I shopped on Facebook Marketplace for the first time yesterday. Have you ever done this?
Oh, I've looked, yes.
Okay, so I've looked, you know, for like a month. I've been looking because I needed kind of a closet or armoire to put stuff in the studio in. And so yesterday I finally clicked on this armoire. And when you click on it and you say like more information or something, it automatically sends a note that says, is this available? And so I thought, oh, okay, well, he'll get back to me. And so I went back to do my other work and he immediately responded. He's like, yes, it is. It's like, oh, okay. So now I've actually got to respond and do something. And so anyway, in a matter of like 5 minutes, I bought an armoire. And by 1 o'clock yesterday, it's in my studio.
Oh, my God.
He was amazing. Like, this guy, like, okay, so again, it's Erector Square. It's this old factory, right? And in my building, there's no elevator.
Oh. And you're at the top, aren't you? Of course.
Yeah, that's what he said, too.
Of course you would be at the top.
I know. So he and I got the sweet maintenance guy, Jerry. God bless Jerry. To bring it up to my studio. I said, I felt like such a girl. I literally stood on the side while these guys brought it up. I don't like standing on the side, but they did an awesome job. But now it's got like this whole French flair going on in there.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I have
armoire.
To get over there.
So you
I'm
have
coming.
To come see it.
Yes, because you said it was pretty.
It is pretty.
Now, what made you decide to have a studio?
I think part of it is it needed to be official.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, now I have a business place. And for a long time, I didn't shoot in there.
Oh.
So I just had a space and I could meet clients there, but it really was about having an address. And that being a little baby step of confidence. Now I'm in there all the time, right? Like, half of the space is for meeting clients and showing them their pictures, and the other half is for shooting. And, you know, now I've got lots of studio lights and stuff so that I can shoot, you know, anytime.
Anytime, whatever you want.
Yep.
And I bet you it's very Parisian inspired.
It is.
I could tell.
It is. I've got, well, and it's fun too, because then as I travel a little bit, I get to collect things.
Yes.
Like I got this old top hat from Paris. It's a travel top hat. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't know either.
And so it folds flat into this travel case.
Okay.
And so, you know, so I've got like this French top hat in there. And, you know, I've been to China. My husband gives some lectures in China from time to time. And so I went and bought some like silks in China.
Oh.
And so then, you know, so it's like little things, but it's all this collection of little things that make me so happy and that are just beautiful on clients, and it makes it special for them too. So
I like
it's
that.
A lot of fun.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta come.
I'm coming. How long are you stateside? Cause I know you gonna make your way back to Paris.
We're trying. So we'll probably go back this summer for a little while, hopefully a month.
Do you think you'll ever make that your home? Kinda.
Okay, so I'm kind of an American girl.
Yes.
I love France. I love being in Paris. But it would be really tough for me to give up everything here and go there.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could do like 50-50.
Now you're talking. I do 6 months there, 6 months
exactly.
here.
Exactly. I always tell my husband, and not or.
That's my favorite thing to say too,
yeah,
Carissa.
Really?
I always say and.
Oh, that's funny.
I never say but, and I never say or. I say and.
Exactly.
Because I just feel like I can have everything.
Sometimes a more expensive proposition.
Yes.
But it's fun.
But you know what? You put it in the universe and then it.
Exactly.
You know, you speak it into existence.
Yep.
This is like I'm speaking Paris into existence.
Okay, I was just going to say that. So Paris is going to happen for you when?
July.
For real?
I talked to my travel agent. My girlfriend is a travel agent. I said, listen, I want to be in Paris in July. She's like, well, what the dates? I said, I don't care. Pick some dates, whatever dates that work that is not ridiculously expensive. So she's like, okay. So she came back to me with three things. So I was like, okay.
Wait,
like,
this is since we talked the other night?
Yes, girl.
Girlfriend, you are making stuff happen.
Listen, you have inspired me. Now, Andrew has inspired me too, because he goes to Paris. He loves Paris. Right now, he's on this Guatemala vibe, right?
Ooh, that's exciting.
So he's leaving for Guatemala next week.
Okay.
But when I met him, it was all about Paris, and he speaks French beautifully, and And he always brings me back a little Parisian trinket of some sort. Like he brought me a scarf and da 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 da. So he already knows of this sojourn to Paris.
So can he go?
I mean, he'll go. I don't fancy myself going with him, but you know, he could meet me over there.
Exactly.
But I think I need to go by myself for myself.
I 100%.
You know. Paris is always a good idea.
Always.
Oh, what is the quote?
Paris is always a good idea.
It's always a good idea, but Paris is where you go and find yourself.
Yeah. Do you remember that movie Sabrina?
Yes.
That was another one that came out on that same time frame.
Yes.
That was a great movie.
The remake.
The original.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But that's such a great show too.
I know. I love them both.
Didn't she say something about walking along the Seine and is it 26 bridges along the Seine?
Yes.
And that you find your bridge and you sit at a cafe and you write nonsense in a journal and suddenly it's nonsense.
And we like that one Woody Allen movie. We hate Woody Allen, but we love this one.
Exactly.
Midnight in Paris. That's one of my favorite movies. I hate Woody Allen.
I know.
But I love that movie.
That opening montage. If ever I'm just having a downer day, like I'll just turn on that opening montage. What is it? Like 5 minutes?
Yes.
And it's just sweet little street scenes of Paris. That just get you, makes me happy.
Yes, it does.
You don't even need the whole movie. You just need that opening
montage.
Just need
the opening, and you're just like, yes, this is what. Carissa, it's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I have enjoyed this so much. It has refreshed me and rejuvenated me and just given me back my life on a lot of levels.
My pleasure. So I'll see you in Paris?
Yes, you shall see me in Paris.
Fabulous.
And I'll be dressed up too.
Ooh, perfect. A little bling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harry. I'm about to play us out.
My pleasure. So I'll see you in Paris?
Yes, you shall see me in Paris.
Okay, fabulous. Wait.
Harry, we need the music. And then I'm out. All right, Miss Carissa. Mm-hmm.